Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
What's the most resilient parasite?
Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Can build cities, can transform the world, and rewrite all the rules.
That's what I'm going to be doing every single night.
Which is why...
No!
I have to steal it.
What are you talking about, Willis?
This is Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
It's going to work. It's passable, okay? This isn't terrible.
The best in local, regional, and national sports.
With no hidden agenda.
Primetime with Isaac and Sue on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Ahoy!
What's
Hello.
Up?
You know.
What's up, ladies?
Well, yeah, I'm sure there is a lady or two listening.
Ladies. Thank you. What's up?
That's the MILFs outside cheering on Rob. He's got his own, little
grand. It's my team.
He's got a grandstand back there, and it's like a hype team. They're like your personal Flavor Flavs.
Couldn't believe how many of them were out there watching me practice at Langdon today.
Yeah, is it a bit much at times? You're
Can
like,
be.
Ladies, I'm just
Can
trying.
Be. Ladies, you know? Ladies,
please. Just please, ladies. Just everyone, back please. Up.
I see you have something very special sitting behind you today.
Oh yeah. Well, sometimes I have stuff delivered to the old office here. One, so that packages don't sit on the doorstep. And then two, like the whole, you don't have to pay tax on something. So if it's a couple $100, I'll have it shipped over here. You don't have to pay tax and screw you, the state of Washington. So yes, I was very excited today. I actually forgot this was coming in, but I have received now, when I walked in, the CL950 luxury bidet seat.
Yes.
Has officially arrived. I no longer have to defecate like the poor. No. I'm moving up. This is like a Jefferson sort of thing. I'm moving on up to the east side. I finally got a piece of the bidet seat. I couldn't be more excited. In fact, I think I'm going to go get some like muchos gracias tonight and really, really test this thing out right from the get-go. Really put it to the task.
So this is life in 2020.
Yes.
Things like this give us pure joy. Now, you forgot it was coming.
I did. Well, I ordered it maybe a week or so ago, and then I kind of forgot that I had it. I was waiting for it at the house. So I think it's been here at the office for like 2 days. I forgot that it was coming here. So now I was like, oh, yeah, look at that. And then I saw it was delivered, on Monday. I guess it was just a day. And I was like, oh, because it was just waiting at the front because we no longer have a receptionist. So
yeah, we fired her.
Yeah, she's gone. Well, there's no one in the building.
It's a robot.
But I will tell you that, like Rosie from the Jetsons, when I got in today, the excitement that I have is palpable for this.
Isn't that fun when you get a package you forget it's coming?
Yes, that's why I love the mail. I love everything about it. And I had an interesting experience at the UPS store today. It's a very mail-centered day for me today.
I feel like you're big on the mail.
Love it.
You always have been.
Yes.
You're always buying things and shipping things. And
love it. Love the Postal Service. Love UPS. All of that. In fact, when I played football, I preferred dudes.
I'm not sure why he played that.
I don't know either.
But
because you've always preferred the mail.
Oh, that is true.
Whoa. I just looked up there and saw Bulls hire Billy Donovan.
Oh, there you go.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, back to your bidet.
Yeah. Yeah, we remodeled the bathroom because, again, what else are you going to do during COVID times? And so I had an electrical outlet put in and then a separate water line so I can get the heated and air-dried seat.
Oh.
So not only do I get the sploosh, but I get the warm sploosh, and then the dryer comes out, drives my fanny that way.
Maybe choose a different word.
What? The sploosh?
Sploosh.
Oh, it's splooshing.
That's a great word.
Yeah, it's going to be it's going
to
get
it's
wet.
It's awfully close sploosh-y, to a very uncomfortable word.
Sploosh-y.
It's going to get wet and wild.
How's your sploosh, Mike?
Up in my new bathroom. And I couldn't be more happy about
just
it.
Just fine, thank you.
You know, and bye-bye
well,
toilet
I'm happy
paper.
For your...
Hey, toilet paper shortage, go ahead. I've moved on
that's
beyond
true.
Toilet paper.
I'm happy for your butt.
Yeah, me too.
Now, we have a bidet. Wait, do we have a bidet? Well, I don't know what we have. My wife, or you know when there was a toilet paper shortage?
Yes.
Back when COVID first hit?
Sure.
My wife ordered something from Amazon. I think it was like a hook-on bidet or something.
Sure.
You have those?
Yeah, I've seen those.
Where you just, that thing sold out instantly when the toilet paper
I think it was
hit.
Called the tushy.
Really? Yes.
Yeah,
the
and
tushy?
It was just like a little clamp-on sort of
so
thing.
So just, okay.
Yeah.
And we never took it out of the box.
Oh.
See, it's still in the garage.
See, that's just like wet water and that's it. It just gives you a little sploosh.
Okay.
But see, this is like
this is a whole seat.
This is 20 years in the making.
So you take off your seat.
Take off your seat, put
and
this
put
one
this
on. There has to be a power outlet.
And there's a lid.
And you have to have a separate, you have to put in a little valve that's got a separate water line that goes to it.
Yeah. Well, why don't you just put in a bidet?
Because I don't know if you've seen the cost of those toilets, but they're a couple grand.
Are they?
Yeah. Well, this is a couple hundred bucks.
Okay.
So there you go. This is like 20 years in the making. I want to say it was like 2001, 2002. We went to Japan when I was with the Buccaneers. I was a little bit later, maybe 20 or 2003. And I'll never forget the Japanese toilets. It was a game changer for me. And I've wanted one ever since. But they are so freaking expensive. But if anyone's ever used one, you're just like, why? Why am I pooping like this? Why are the Japanese light years ahead of us?
We're peasants.
They've had this technology for years and years and years. And now finally they've made the seats. Like the toilets aren't affordable, but the seats are. So this is all the reviews, stellar. And here it is. It's finally here. And this was, like I said, when we did the bathroom remodel, separate water line so that I could have the heated water and the power. This was kind of the one thing I wanted. This was the main feature, and now it's finally here.
All right.
I couldn't be more excited.
You know, the United States should have three things, and I don't understand why we don't have these three things. One is your toilet technology, the bidet.
Yeah, it's there.
It is there.
Why?
And if you've ever traveled... You know this.
And that's the weird part is it's not even if you go anywhere in Europe or in Asia, not even nice places, because most of those places that are if you go to like poorer countries, they don't have the infrastructure. And so they can't really their sewer systems can't handle toilet paper. So every toilet has a bidet. And you're like, why?
Why?
Why if the poor people of Vietnam or Costa Rica, why are we worse off than they when it comes
right.
to this sort of thing?
Because we're really, really rich and entitled and white.
We're like the greatest country on earth.
Come
at least
on.
That's what we say.
Look at us. Well, that's what I'm saying. If we think we're the greatest, there should be three things. One, the bidet.
Yes.
Two, high-speed trains.
Yes.
Where are they? Where are they?
Exactly.
And three, COVID testing for anyone who wants it.
Well,
I don't understand.
Now you're just being silly.
Isaac, that exists, but for football players only.
Yes. Well, and basketball players, too.
I played football once.
Oh, you recovered a
fumble. Have you heard of
and
the
baseball players.
Pheasant Bowl?
Can you walk into a place and be like, I know that I'm not supposed to get a test, even though I have symptoms, but maybe you've heard of a little something called the Pheasant Bowl, and then you just
here's
get
the program.
One? Yeah. You get swiped?
Well, no, I'm just, you know. It just makes no sense. We should have all three of those things.
One would think.
But here we are.
I have not solved the high-speed trains, nor can I get a COVID test, even if I'm sick. My mom couldn't get one, and she was in the hospital, almost died.
I mean, if any country needs high-speed trains, it's us, because
yes.
we're huge.
Yeah. And yet, we can solve the toilet problem for just a couple hundred bucks.
So dumb.
But look up the toilet itself. Like, if you want one of the fancy toilets, it's ridiculous. I don't know why it's so much money for the toilet. And
well, are they porcelain?
I don't know, but like a standard toilet, like a good toilet, like the kind that like you that are guaranteed no clogs, right? Just a nice toilet. It's like $300, right?
Maybe more.
Well, I mean,
you
can buy super nice ones,
yeah.
But I never understood like because we just were looking at toilets to put. I'm sure you did too. You did remodeled your home,
yeah.
And you can
we
buy
went run of the mill.
Yeah.
Nothing fancy.
You can buy a cheapo toilet for $100. You can buy a nice one for $300. And then for whatever reason, you can buy a really nice one if you want like $500-$600. But I didn't understand the difference between the three and the five. It made no sense. The toilet seat, if you want one of the really nice ones, about $300. But the nice toilet with the built-in seat and all that, it's like $35,000 to $4,000, hmm. which I don't understand the difference.
Well, it probably has more bells and whistles.
Probably.
You know?
And it's one unit. I don't
know. And I'm sure it works better. And yeah, but that, look, you get what you pay
when
for.
When you're a rich guy, you don't want to do two separate things. You're just like, just yeah. give me the fancy toilet.
That's right.
Yeah.
You don't care.
No.
But when you're balling on a budget like Big Suit,
exactly.
local radio funny man, you get with the yeah. you get the you couple get, hundred dollar.
Yeah, you get the $950 luxury bidet seat and you go with that.
Well, I think it's great that you got that.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy.
And I'm glad you're
bummed.
I can't
wait to hear tales from the
yeah,
bathroom.
I can't, yeah.
Oh,
you should tweet out your
believe
before
me,
and after pics.
Yeah, tonight when I get that bad boy installed, it's going to be wonderful. Like an aerial shot.
I hope you mean just of the toilet and not of the cleaned and unclean surface.
Well, of course. Jesus. What do you think I'm? What do you think I am?
Now, I did buy the
toilet. Don't answer that.
You're you.
I did buy the toilet with the extra powerful clean flush that swirls.
Yeah, you did.
That's supposed to keep it all.
We have that too.
Yeah, it's supposed to keep it all nice.
They have the two types of flushes.
Yeah, yeah.
The light flush and the poo-poo flush.
Yes, and then like it gives you like a swirly bird sort of thing, so it's supposed to clean everything and keep everything white.
Yeah, but it.
Well,
yeah, I don't know how well that works.
It works better than your standard, but it does not work as well as they advertise. We put that to the test. But now with this thing, I'm pretty excited about it.
Well,
it's possibly the last time I buy toilet paper.
You're riding high today.
I am. I am riding an emotional toilet high right now.
I'm kind of with you. Like, we got a really good deal. You know, I was talking about my Arb sitch.
Sure.
Arbivita.
Yeah. Got to get a privacy wall.
Great deal.
Yeah.
Found a great deal. Really happy about it.
Yeah. See, when you like, there's when you become old.
Great deal.
Like, there's some 20-year-old walking around right now being like, God, really? Yeah, this is like, your life? But when you're old, this is
what excites you.
And it only gets worse. And this is what I was saying. I went into the UPS store today, and I realized, like, this is as good as it gets. I saw an old man today that wanted to die, and I felt so bad for him. Like, I was emotionally crushed. And now seeing the toilet seat, I've been able to forget about him. And it was really weighing on me. So I'm in line and I was just dropping off a couple packages at the UPS store, right? And there were it was returns. So you just had to go in and have them scan, but I had to wait in line. And there was this lady in there, and I'm assuming that was the father, right? That she was dragging along. Why he was in the UPS store, I don't know. Just leave him in the minivan. But he was like Anthony Hopkins, like Legends of the Fall. Clearly there had been a situation. Stroke of some kind, right? He just had that kind of weird perma, like, frightened face, and like one side of it couldn't move, and he had the little walker, and he kept trying to leave the UPS store, and then she was trying to wrangle him like she was hurting a cat. She's like, Dad. He didn't want to be there. He just kept making weird, angry grunt sounds the entire time. He would like slap at her hand because she was trying to grab the walker. I felt so bad for him. I was like, oh my God, like this is what you have to look forward to. The guy had to be like 90 years old.
Well, he probably had dementia. Like she probably couldn't leave him on his own.
Oh, I just was kind of sitting there and I was like, why? No. It's like, why? Like in the,
what are you advocating? Put him down?
Just like in the animal world, right? It's like, I felt bad for him.
Give him a shot?
No, but I didn't know what, but I felt like it messed up my mind because I was sitting there looking at it because I've got an older dog right now that's getting a little old. And I've always said, right, your dog gets to a certain point. Everyone's had to do this with an animal. You're like, that life is terrible, right? And I'm going to do the humane thing. And I wonder, like, I don't want to be that. Like, all I thought about that was if I'm that guy, just end it. I think that guy was trying to get out onto Mill Plain just so he could get hit. I think he was trying to make it out so that he could end it. And I thought, how long is that guy going to have to get drug around in his weird walker and not be able to communicate and just grunt and then his daughter yell at him? And yeah, it's not her fault, but she was clearly frustrated because he wasn't listening to her, but he didn't want to be there. This is a man that's been independent his whole life, and now this is what he's got going on. This is what he has to look forward to, and he doesn't have a bidet seat. He's not going home to a bidet seat to make him happy.
You don't know that.
No, I do know that.
You should have given him yours.
And at one point, I'm telling you, we locked eyes, and I felt bad. I felt like, man, I wish I could do something for you. And they're just, I felt horrible. And then he shuffled on out, and then they strapped him into that minivan, and off he went to the next errand. And it really just made me appreciate. I don't know how many years we have left, but damn it, enjoy it while you can, because eventually that's where you end up. You end up with a stroke and a walker at a UPS store with your daughter yelling at you. So right now, I'm enjoying this ride for as long as I can with the bidet seat behind me.
Good day for you.
Yeah. It was a real high and low. It was a real roller coaster sort of emotional day for me.
All right. Well, are we ready to sports?
Let's do it.
Are you ready to sports? Mike, you ready to sports? You want sports today?
Absolutely.
Yeah, this is going to be great. Big day. Bryson talk.
Yeah. We didn't get to the doucher.
Latest Pac-12 news.
Derek Carr has decided to be good again.
Yeah, weren't you taking a giant steamer on him when
first,
we left last
first
night?
Quarter, he looked terrible. So did the Raiders. And then, hey, go Raiders. That's a big win.
Was it?
That was the first win, and it hasn't been that long, but that was the first win of a team with a 500 record or better for John Gruden and the Raiders. By far their best win.
It was a nice little win.
It was a nice little win.
I agree
win.
With you on that.
Well, you see him afterwards. He's like chest bumping people and, you know.
Gruden?
Yeah. It's going to cost him $100,000.
Yeah, he's a wild man, that one.
He refuses to wear his mask, but.
Yeah, we've got hot mask news. Why can't coaches just mask up? And then there's the why should they?
I guess if you got.
It's
got
to be one of the. You have to be on one or the other. You
yes,
cannot.
You can't be.
Think both.
You can't be in the middle ground. Yeah. Although, does anyone really think Sean Payton or John Gruden like $100,000? Whatever.
They don't care.
I'm assuming they care a little bit, but let's not act like John Gruden makes like what, $9-10 million a year?
Yeah.
Like what's
100? What would that be equivalent to?
I'll try to look into that.
Do some math.
Do some math. But I'm guessing that's a, you know, it's an expensive ticket, but it's a speeding ticket for him.
Yeah.
He's all right. If you told him that he's got the win, but he had to pay $100,000, he doesn't care. He's going to go home and ignore his family and be pumped up about being 2-0. Go
yes,
Raiders.
But for what? For what? What are we doing here with the mask thing?
Yeah. You know, it's arbitrary, but it's
necessary.
No, arbitrary.
Right.
It's pointless, but
there you go.
It's the rule.
It's pointless.
Yeah.
So why have a pointless rule?
Well, I find speeding.
Don't answer that.
I find speeding to be pointless, but again, there's posted signs.
Speeding's not pointless. You get there faster.
Speed limits are pointless.
Oh, you want just a lawless society.
No, but I'd like, I feel like on the road, there should be a lane for us where you can,
yeah,
you can
go as fast.
You can like do what you want.
The Autobahn lane.
Yes. The fast lane should indeed just be the fast lane. And if you don't want to be in that one, hey, cool. I got these over here for you. But if you're Mike, I feel like Mike and his Murano should be on the left-hand side, being able to do whatever
what
the hell
if,
he wants.
What if they had the technology where you had that and then some old dude or some stoned guy in a Subaru.
Yeah.
Gets over into the lane, that fast lane.
I know.
And then it automatically tickets you if you don't go a certain speed. What if we had that technology?
It'd be fantastic.
That would be terrible because then they could ticket you for going too fast.
No. That's my...
No.
Were you not listening to
I was listening, but if we have that technology, you know it's not going to be used just for good.
That's why
if
I say
auto-ticketing.
Give us a lane. Give us a lane and just you understand. And here's the thing. Tax me a little bit more, right? I'll pay... Oh, let's say, you know, whatever it is, a yearly tax, $200, whatever. You pay like a fast pass.
Preemptive
sort of thing.
Speeding tickets.
Right? I just write you the check at the beginning, and that lane, when I'm in there, anything goes. I just say, and someone comes behind me, I got to get over and I can get back, and that's just our little lane. And we pay to use it, and away we go. I mean, who decided that 65 or 55 in some cases? It's ridiculous. No one drives it. Does anyone drive 55? Does anyone drive 65? No.
Sammy Hagar doesn't.
No, he can't. He won't.
Literally can't.
No. Physically impossible.
All right. Well, we start with NFL Week 2 wrap-up next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
AAA Heating and Cooling. Poll question today at 1080thefan.com. Family business helping families for over 50 years. AAAIAQ.com. Who is worse? Write me out. Tom Brady. Drew Brees.
Love how we just everyone after two games. Ah, they're terrible.
Philip Rivers. And that's all you get. I could put Carson Wentz on there, but
I think
he's not old.
Carson Wentz would be the answer to that. Something's wrong with Carson Wentz. Like, he's busted. He's not good. It's not good.
Not good.
No. Ever since he had the MVP. Well, he would have been the MVP. Gets hurt. Big D Nick comes in, wins the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
He's never been the same. Now, to be fair, his team isn't as good as the year they won. But
where's Foles now? Chicago?
Is he the backup in Chicago? Yeah, he's the backup in Chicago. He got brought in, and supposedly that's the thing that triggered Mitchell Trubisky, who also looks okay.
I haven't watched a lick of them.
I don't think he looks, and to be fair, again, not like I'm watching all 22 cuts, but Trubisky looks, he looks better. I'm not going to say he looks good. Josh Allen looks good. If you want to take one guy that made leaps and bounds, Josh Allen looks like a different quarterback.
Against the Dolphins and the Jets.
Exactly. So it's 2 weeks in. But,
number one in the NFL, though, I think, quarterback rating.
But if you look at his mechanics and the decisions with the ball, running is still a whole other thing. He just looks better. Trubisky, there's flashes. And I said the same thing about, I think Derek Carr is still makes decisions that are very puzzling. And at times he just makes inexcusable dumb plays. And you saw that in the first quarter with the Saints. He just has bad pocket presence, but they did a real nice job of getting the ball out of his hands. And I think this is the kind of what they're doing with Goff in LA is
who?
Jared Goff.
Okay.
Who?
I feel like I said it.
You're doing the best you can.
Golf. If you've got a guy that has some decision-making problems and a guy that tends to hold on to the ball and not the greatest pocket presence, what's the best way? Get rid of it. Three steps and get rid of the ball. And I think smart quarterback coaches, John Gruden, Sean McVay, are realizing that, and they're relying on a run game, play action pass, and when they don't have to have six- and seven-step drops, get rid of it. Not everyone is Pat Mahomes and drops back 10 yards. And I thought the Raiders did a real nice job with that. And they carved up the Saints with the run game, some play action, and getting the ball out of Derek Carr's hands. And he looked really good those final three quarters.
So maybe John Gruden is worth $10 million a year.
Well, everyone that was giving him crap for the Khalil Mack trade, and you look at where the Bears are at, and you look at where the Raiders are at, and if you're buying futures, and you look at what the Raiders got for that, you know, I think they've got on a pretty good track.
And you just said what he does with Carr.
Yeah.
Maybe he's worth it.
It's possible.
Everybody laughed when they paid him $10 million a year. Yeah. But, hey, John Gruden's pretty damn good.
It's 2 weeks in, and I just always roll my eyes at the sweeping sort of statements we make after 2 weeks. But, you were gone. Me and Ross Tucker were on here talking. And when you look, again, from a roster standpoint, I don't love Derek Carr, just like I don't love Josh Allen, although that may change if he keeps this up. When you look at total rosters, I think the Raiders have a good roster. I don't think their defense is nearly as good as what the Bills have, but I think they've taken some steps that way. But as an offensive unit, when healthy, I like the Raiders. I like, you know, their offensive line is banged up. Incognito's out. I mean, they've suffered, you know, right tackle goes down. The right tackle's replacement goes down. Incognito goes down. Offense still look good. But when healthy, and you look at the Raiders starting 22, but especially on the offensive end, if Derek Carr can be good, he doesn't need to be great, but if he can be good, and last night he was good, the Raiders are a dangerous team.
You know, under Gruden, Derek Carr's quarterback rating is over 100.
Really?
In 18 starts.
Well, I mean, that's why you brought John Gruden in. You believed that he was a guy that could work with quarterbacks. And
25 touchdowns, 8 picks, quarterback rating of 104.
Yeah. I mean, that if that is the Derek Carr moving forward, what we saw last night.
He's capable.
Then the answer to the question is John Gruden worth it? Yes.
Well, none of that was what the subject of the poll question is.
No.
Which is the olds.
Who's worse? It's Phillip Rivers.
Oh, Rivers worse than Breeze? Because Breeze looked bad.
Breeze is not the same player that he was.
Breeze kind of looks like Brady looked last year with the Patriots.
Yeah. If you gave me a choice, though, and I still had to take a complete team,
well,
I'm still taking Phillip Rivers last.
Well, yeah, but you would do that at any point in their careers. Like, I mean, come on. Like, Phillip Rivers is not on the same level. I only put him on there because they're all old.
Sure.
But Phillip Rivers, you know, they had a bounce back win. They beat Minnesota. So they're all three still, you know, winning games.
Yeah, they're not terrible. By the way, if you want to talk about a team that's in some trouble, Minnesota.
Yeah, no question. But these three guys, I don't know. It's just like, I mean, somebody even mentioned it on the tweets last night. Jameis Winston sitting Drew Brees down.
That's, I don't know if we're
his yards per attempt.
Yeah, it's the worst of his career.
4.8, man. Yeah.
The calls for Jameis on Twitter were hot.
Isn't it amazing?
But they forgot about Taysom Hill.
Taysom Hill.
Winston's their third string.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Taysom Hill is the backup. Look, we knew eventually that this was going to happen, right? It's like we all have this amnesia block, apparently, with old guys. It's like, they'll be young forever. Mother Nature and Father Time combined are undefeated. I say that there was a draw once, and that was Barry Bonds. Barry Bonds played Mother Nature and Father Time to a draw, but he did not beat it. But he that was a draw.
He had help.
He had help, but still, other than that, eventually you get old, and you are seeing it with Drew Brees. He no longer has the zip on the ball. He's a tad slow with it. That's the same thing with Philip Rivers and Tom Brady. You're in your 40s.
I know, but it just kind of, when you see it early in the season,
yeah,
like this, it's like, ooh,
yeah, boy. We normally have seen it towards the end. And
you saw it last year with Breeze.
Exactly. You get towards the end and just your body doesn't recover as well, but I think you're seeing it early on. And there's, with Rivers and Brady, there's a little bit of a, hey, it's a new system and you're figuring some stuff out. With Drew Breeze, it's just like, ew. And I don't know Michael Thomas, which, by the way, can we please give Michael Thomas some credit as opposed to the, oh, he's just another guy plug and play with Drew Brees. Turns out Michael Thomas, kind of a big deal. So he doesn't have his best weapon. That certainly is a factor there. But yeah, Brees doesn't look the same, and he won't be. So this talk of will he eventually get back? No, he won't. That Drew Brees is gone. The question is, can you maintain a level of excellence, of high quality play, a lot like what I said with Derek Carr.
Well,
right?
look at what happened with the Patriots and Brady last year.
Yes, you know they were good enough.
Now, Brees has,
and then they got to the playoffs and it wasn't.
They were terrible.
Yeah,
their offense sucked.
Yes,
but Drew Brees has more weapons.
Yeah.
If healthy, so you know maybe they can prop him up.
You got to change the way, and I think you are seeing it a little bit. I don't think it's a coincidence that New Orleans offense is shifting a little bit. I think they're going to rely more on the run game. I think you're going to see more Taysom Hill in packages running some wildcat stuff, although it's not really wildcat because he is a quarterback. And you are going to see more of a short passing game. I do. I just think that the days of Drew Brees, and he said it as much in the postgame, and it was a little defensive, but he said something along the lines of, you know, my job isn't to throw for the most yards. My job is to lead the offense. I think you can read between the lines. They ain't airing it out this year.
Yeah.
You know,
they know.
Yeah.
And, you know, this guy's right. Ben Roethlisberger is kind of looking pretty good for an old dude.
Yeah, through the first couple weeks.
He's still slinging it.
Oh, I think he's significantly younger than, I think he's
38.
38.
Somewhere in there.
Yeah, he's 38. So I do think there's a difference. Again, let's see where Ben's at in 3 or 4 years. I also want to see if Ben...
He's 42?
Yeah. I also want to see how Ben does towards the end of the year, because we've seen this with some of the older guys. 16 weeks plus playoffs is a long time. That's what Brett Favre talked about. When Brett Favre retired, I think Brees is 42. When Brett Favre retired... He even said, he goes, I can play. If you gave me, and if I had to play a month, he goes, I can still do it. He's like, what I can't do is all the preparation and I can't play 16 games anymore. I think people failed to realize the car crash that these guys are in every single week, even with the rules changes and not getting hit as much. You're still slammed to the turf. You still have sore muscles. And anyone that's in their 40s, God, think about when you get done playing golf, right? Do you feel anywhere near as good you did when you were 30 and playing golf?
No, I was just thinking about that today.
Right. And then you realize that you got to get up and you got to do it again and again, and you got to be able to go on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday at practice, and your arm still has to stay fresh, and you get to the end of the year. And so it's not a matter of playing 4 or 5 games. It's a matter of playing an entire year. So, I mean, we've seen some of these older guys look sharp at the beginning of the year, and then they fade towards the end.
All right, vote on our poll question there, 1080thefan.com. Who looks worse right now, Brees, Brady, Rivers? Coming up, we'll put a bow on week 2 in the NFL, and we did do the math on the John Gruden salary comparison.
Yeah.
In terms of the fine. So he makes $10 million a year.
Something like that, I think.
That would be, so he got a $100,000 fine for being a maskless heathen. If you make $75,000 a year, that would be the equivalent of a $750 fine.
So that's still a good, that's a good ticket.
It's pretty significant.
Still, he's
but when you
10
have
million.
10 million, yeah, he's doing 100K doesn't mean as much as when you have 75, or when you make $75,750.
Means
more.
Yeah. Still, it's not probably not a fun check to write. I bet you next week he's wearing the mask.
And it's a stupid check to write.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, a very stupid one.
Somewhere his wife's like, really, John?
Right.
Really?
Look, we've bought some dumb things over the years, but this takes the cake.
Yeah. You just got to view that it's a charity thing, right? It's
sure.
That's where all that money goes.
Oh, sure. I'm sure it goes straight to charity. Yes. Right.
Not to Jerry Jones's yacht.
All right. Here's Mike with sports.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, five NFL coaches have been fined money, U.S. dollars.
A lot of it.
For not wearing their masks out there on Sunday. Sean Payton and John Gruden from last night. Pete Carroll, Kyle Shanahan, and Vic Fangio.
Yeah. 100K, and then each team is fined 250K.
Yeah.
That's a...
Yeah, pretty significant.
Sure.
I mean,
look, no one here is... No one here is hurting for money. And if you're any one of these guys and, you know, 100 grand is going to make the difference between your kids eating or not, then I'd need to look at your budgets because something is askew. You make a lot of money. But the NFL did say, and I think it was Shefty that had this, where he said, look, the NFL is not messing around here. And if any of these guys violate it again, it's going to continue to go up. You know, the NFL is making a point here. And you can think it's stupid and arbitrary, which I kind of think it is, but it's the airplane thing, right? You can think that getting on an airplane, it's dumb that you have to wear a mask, but if you want to get on the airplane, you got to put on the mask.
Well, isn't this a little different that they're all getting tested
again
daily?
Again, I'm open to the idea that this is pointless.
I mean, it is pointless.
It is.
But I don't really understand why it's so hard for these guys to keep their mask on.
Exactly. The NFL has said. And by the way, the NFL is your boss, and they sign your really, 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 really big checks.
P-H-A-T, fat checks.
Yes, and they have said that you have to wear a mask on the sideline, and if you don't, we are going to punish you.
So why can't they do it? Like, what's their problem?
Because coaches don't like being told what to do.
I mean, that's it?
That's all there is to it.
Or they just feel like they communicate better.
That's a bunch of horse crap. You got doctors and nurses and restaurant workers and... A lot of people that aren't making 10 million bucks a year and they're wearing their mask. We have to wear them when we go out in the hallway, you know, which I don't, again, fully understand because we're in here and we're not wearing it and there's no one in the building.
Hey, I got tested. I'm neg.
Yeah.
I'm neg.
Well, that's
bro.
What John Gruden has already had it. Sean Payton's already had it.
Oh, that's right.
So do they even, I mean.
Anthony Lynn had it.
Yeah. So do they have antibodies? And so for those guys, maybe they're like, why do I even have to do this? Why do we have to wear them in the hallway? Because the company that signs our check said, you have to wear it in the hallway. And if you want to be an employee, you have to do it. So I'm fascinated with the mask thing in this country. We live in a world of arbitrary rules.
So do you think those guys are anti-maskers or they just think it just gets in the way of their.
I'm sure maybe one or two of them are.
But I'm guessing.
Others are probably just like, yeah, I don't want to deal with it.
I'm guessing for the most part, it's just like anyone else. Wearing a mask can be cumbersome and you're not used to it. And it's coaches are a creature or creatures of habit and they don't want to deal with it. And they probably don't feel like they should have to. You want $10 million a year. You want to be a coach on the sidelines. Wear the mask. I don't want to wear it when I go to the gym. It's hot. It's messy. It's sweaty. I got to bring two of them. I go
it's
through
harder
them.
To breathe. Yeah.
But if I want to go to the gym, I got to put it on. If I want to work here, I got to wear the mask. So again, I made this point. I can think that wearing pants is stupid. I should be able to walk around in my underoos, my new Cobra Kai underoos, or just be naked. I'm comfortable being naked. Why can't I go down to Chick-fil-A and grab myself a spicy chicken Sammy and be naked? Because someone has decided that that's not okay. There is a law against it. There is a rule against it. That company, even if there wasn't a law, says, hey, no shoes, no shirt, no service. And we all have agreed to that. Somehow with the mask thing, this is where we draw the line and we're like, nope, not going to do it. Company has every right to do it because, well, they're a private company.
Yeah, this text, you can text our show, guys, 503-250-1080. I don't know why we all care how much they get fined. Just wear a mask or a shield. I love the tough guy football. Can't wear a mask for 4 hours, guy. They're exactly. Such babies.
Go ask the server that's working down at you know, Cheapo Latte, right? That has to strap that thing on for a 9-hour shift, and they're making $12 an hour.
Why? Okay. So they players don't have to wear masks on the sideline, but coaches do?
Yes, I believe that is the case.
That's dumb, too.
Yes. But this is like everything else in this COVID thing, right?
Well, can we not have common sense with our rules?
Apparently we can't, but this has been from the very get-go. This is I have
yeah, but let's be better. Who cares? Let's be better. Let's be great. Let's be great.
We have 200,000 people that are dead from this. It's clearly a really serious thing. And so I have no problem with trying to slow this thing down and stop it, but my biggest rub and this is where, you know, I get people get tired of this is the arbitrary nature of what is and isn't allowed seems exactly that arbitrary, but if you're an NFL coach and you don't want to pay $100K, it's one thing if they say that if they didn't warn you, but they said, we're not messing around after week one. Wear the effing mask or you're going to be in right. trouble.
They set the rule. And then week one, they just said, look, guys, we saw all you coaches out there. Wear the effing mask.
Is it just head coaches that are having problems?
No, it's everybody but players, that needs to wear it.
No, yeah. I know, but I'm saying, is it just head coaches that's having a problem?
I have not heard of any assistant coaches. So.
And what head coaches are doing a good job with their mask? I haven't seen any of them. Like the games I'm watching, they all sometimes have it on and sometimes have it off.
There's a lot of up and down.
Yeah. And I think that's the idea is that we understand that there is going to be up and down. I think they're only fining the people that are just blatantly saying, we're not going to wear it.
Like Sean Payton just had nothing on yesterday.
Yeah, he just was.
John Gruden wore it under his chin.
You're right. Payton didn't even have one.
No.
And by the way, someone found a tweet from the Saints account with him wearing a mask, and it just said, wear a mask. And then it's funny that he literally refuses to wear a mask
from
on the
Saints account.
Yeah, this was in the past.
Oh,
they had him wearing a mask and said, like everyone wear a mask, and he's not wearing a mask.
God, I love it. Well, all right. Hopefully they put on their masks next week. Well, but if they say, hey, you don't have to wear a mask, that's probably okay too, because they're all being tested.
Yes.
Daily. Every day. Mm-hmm. So the idea is that no one on the sideline has COVID.
I think there's two things, at least in my mind. One, optics. It looks better if the coaches are wearing a mask because a lot of people are not happy about it.
It's for the critics. That's what it's for.
B, just because they're tested every day doesn't mean since they've been tested, they haven't come into contact with someone who is asymptomatic or something like that.
I mean, look, you put it this way. The safest thing is you make everybody on the sideline mask up, although they don't make the players.
Yeah.
If someone gets on the sideline with COVID, it's better if everyone is masked up down there.
Yes. Yeah. And I think
that's pretty much it.
And the other thing, too, is it probably, like you said, it sets an example, right? You're trying to just have a...
it's for the critics.
An image thing out there. Yeah. So...
Because you know they're going to come at you.
Sure.
And you can't... Everybody's always watching the NFL really closely.
I still don't understand why it's such a... I will not understand for the life of me why the mask thing, whether you agree with it or not, I will never understand why that is such a big deal to some people and why this is the line that is being drawn in the sand of you're infringing upon my freedom. Don't tell me what to do. We tell you what to do in this country every day a million times over. But this one thing is where we're like, nope. I'll be damned. God gave me the right to not wear a mask, and you can't tell me. I'll follow 19,000 other rules, but not this one.
All right, the latest Pac-12 news next on The Fan.
Prime time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, we finally get to a U.S. Open wrap-up coming up next.
Not now, though.
No. Now, I've got Pac-12 news. You know the latest Pac-12 news?
The latest Pac-12 non-news?
I think this is non-news. This was John Wilner going at the Pac-12 for paying bonuses before furloughs.
Yeah, Larry Scott's kind of a scumbag.
Well,
it's a scumbag move. It is.
Okay, so if you're expecting a bonus, you don't know furloughs are coming, I guess, do you?
Yeah, you do.
Okay, so they should not pay bonuses?
So the budgets were set, and so there was for about 50 of the high level employees of the Pac-12, including Larry Scott, and I want to say his bonus was like two something It's like
$2.5 million?
$2.5 million.
For what? Right?
I guess doing a great job. Way to go, Pac-12.
What does he get bonused for?
I don't know. But I guess that was all tied in where a bunch of the higher-ups were scheduled to make a bonus, and it was going to be paid in September. He moved those up, and he was allowed to do this. And this is nothing he did was illegal. Like I said, I just think it was a scumbag move. He moved it from, like, September up until whatever it was, June. And then knowing what was coming, like a month later, they laid off over half of their workers, 90% of them. It's a scumbag move.
Scumbag move because he moved it up to get up to make sure they got their bonuses.
Yes. And it's a scumbag move to take a couple. When you are making $5+ million, you know that everyone's in a financial crunch. You know you're about to cut a ton of people, over half of your staff off at the knees, and you move it up. So that you're trying to basically kind of slip this one underneath the rug, and you're going to hand out millions of dollars to a bunch of people that don't need it. Meanwhile, you're going to take the everyday sort of worker and you're going to cut them off at the knee and furlough them and fire them. It's a scumbag move. It just is. I'm not saying it's like that goes on at corporate America left and right. Still a scumbag move.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with it. That was a ho-hum for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it sucks, but I don't know if guys were, or guys and gals were due bonuses, and he got found a way to pay them. That's great. He can't just find money to hand to people. If they were due them, then I think it's actually a cool move by a boss to do that.
Yeah. But it's pretty typical in situations like that where you will forego the bonuses to keep people employed.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
From what I was reading, those people who are really high up who are not going to lose their job will just not take the bonus that year so that people won't be fired.
Yeah, I get it. I often have a hard time blaming the people that make big money, blaming them for that because, somebody paid them that.
Like, sure. I mean, look, I don't have any
problem. It's not their fault.
If someone wants to give Larry Scott $5 million a year, I have no issue with that. I mean, I'm a capitalist. My point is when you know that your whole company is in the toilet and you're facing unprecedented financial strife, and you know that you are about to take a meat cleaver to all of just the everyday average person struggling to make, you know, just their salary, and you go ahead and hand yourself a $2.5 million bonus when you make $5 million and then hand out high level six figure bonuses to a bunch of other people that are not going to lose their jobs and are not going to be in financial trouble.
And then fire everybody.
And then fire everyone else a month later. I'm sorry. That is the definition. First ballot Hall of Famer, check right down the list. Scumbag corporate move.
Well, welcome to corporate America. Yeah, big boy. That happens all the time.
He is a 5-star.
And that's what I said. Like,
quite common.
Corporations do it all the time. Citibank, during the first economic collapse that we had a number of years ago, took the government money, the billions of dollars that we gave them, bought their own stock because it was at a depressed rate because, well, they were going bankrupt, bought their own stock, and that drove the stock price up, and then they made themselves billions of dollars. Corporation, it's a scumbag move, but just because corporations do it doesn't mean it's not a scumbag move.
The one that I thought was more interesting was what's his nuts, Urban Meyer.
Yeah.
Who said Pac-12 recruiting. He says that if the Pac-12 doesn't play soon, the Pac-12 will take a recruiting hit that will be catastrophic.
Oregon certainly is feeling it right now. Oh, wait, no, they're not.
And I find that comment interesting. I don't know if that's just a shot because he just thinks they should play. Or if that's really a thing, will it? And why will it? You know?
I don't think
I
think a lot of that is fear mongering.
That's what I think
just
too.
Just like the transfer thing.
Doesn't seem like a thing, but no. They're going to try to make it a thing.
Well, again, it's fear mongering because twofold. Why we've heard two things. And first off, we know the Pac-12 is going to play, whether it's in the college football playoff or not. We don't know. Although it looks more and more like the way games are being delayed and you know, pushing things around, I think there's a good chance whether they start October 31st, more than likely November 7th, they still find a way to be considered for the college football playoff, and they're still going to get money from it either way. But the two things that we heard left and right were there'd be this mass exodus and people transferring and all these decommits and people leaving to go other places. Well, first off, the mass exodus thing didn't happen. We a handful of kids that were eligible to play right away, sure. But we were this fear that you were going to get 15, 20 kids on a team that were going to leave and go somewhere else was total hogwash. You leave and go somewhere, you're not eligible to play anyways. And next year, when everything supposedly returns back to normal, then what are you like, oh crap, why did I leave in the first place? And the recruiting thing, when you look and you talk to people that are involved in recruiting, this hasn't hurt a ton of people. I mean, again, you've seen some high school kids that have left to go play other places because other high schools are playing, but everything I've read, you have not seen this have some sort of huge negative effect. And so the fear is, okay, let's say if the Pac-12 doesn't play this year, that's going to be the catalyst to all these kids then saying, well, if they don't play this year, they'll never play again. So I'm going to go somewhere else. It just, it's silly. I think there is somewhat of an impact that could be had from this. Is it devastating and something that you're never going to recover from? That's stupid. Was Ohio State going to be negatively affected to the point where Ohio State wasn't going to be Ohio State?
Well, I guess I don't understand why a kid who is not directly impacted, like recruiting for this upcoming season.
Exactly.
Why would, past this, why would anyone care?
Yeah.
Like, why would a kid care either way if he's not directly impacted in this recruiting class?
For the life of me, I don't understand that either. I mean, you're going to say, okay, well, we're not going to play this year on the timeline with everyone else. We're going to play an abbreviated schedule just like everyone else. But next year, we're all planning to be just fine. And that kid's going to be like, well, no, you didn't play my senior year of high school, therefore I'm not going to go to your school. What? And by the way, most of those kids that are getting recruited to go to the Arizona States and the Arizonas of the World, Oregon State, most of those are West Coast kids with West Coast offers, right? Let's not act like every kid on the West Coast is this national kid that has offers from Texas and Alabama and this and that. Most of those kids going to those schools tend to be West Coast recruits. And so they're all in the same boat because all the West Coast schools are in the same conference or the Mountain West or even the WAC or whatever. They're all in the same timeline. They're all struggling to try to get off the ground right now. So yeah. it's fear mongering. That's all it is.
There's a couple things too that are in addition to this. I think there's an allure to the West. I don't know that it allures a lot, but there are certain people that are just drawn to the West.
Yeah.
And that's not going to change.
No.
It's just different in the West, and a lot of people want to check that out. A lot of kids want to check that out. It's not for everyone, which is why, you know, it's maybe behind and certainly isn't the football hotbed that other states and regions are. But the West is always going to pull certain kids because it's the West. And then the other thing is I think some will respect the fact that the Pac-12 cares about its players, it seems.
Yeah. I mean, you certainly could go in if you're a coach and make the argument of, hey,
we're watching out for you.
We did right by this. And by the way, we're still going to play. Maybe we play two less games or one less game than the SEC or whatever. But we're going to do this. We're going to play and we're going to do it the right way. And by the way, you look through recruiting rankings and, you know, Oregon is killing it right now.
They're third, right?
Yeah. UW has a top 15 class. Arizona State is a top 25 school. And you look, you know, UCLA still about where they are. I've yet to see this big plummet so far in recruiting rankings. So I just think this is more Urban Meyer. Urban Meyer is a Midwest or East Coast guy, Ohio State, you know, Florida. And I think this is more of just kind of playing up the fact of, you know, we do things differently and football means more to us out there.
All right, we wrap up the U.S. Open next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.